Before we get started, we just wanted to thank you for all your support.
Join us on Patreon for exclusive bonus content and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Carried Away Podcast.
Let's get into the episode.
I'm recording and everything. I am recording too. Hello. Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Carried Away.
Welcome.
How are we all doing?
This is the penultimate episode of season three.
It is. And Ellen, you look like a Christmas pudding.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I'm freezing.
Yeah, the penultimate episode of season three, which I don't know if I'm ready for this season to end. It's been a great season.
Do you know what? It has been such a good season. It really has. And I feel like it's flown in this season.
Absolutely. Are we ready to get into the episode?
We are indeed, as always.
Perfect. Can you give us a little debrief of last week's episode?
So, last week, Miranda's date died. And
tragic.
She met one of Carrie's ex-boyfriends at the wake, which obviously Carrie had said he's an asshole, don't date him. But she did, and it turned out he was an asshole. So she didn't have great luck, you know. So we're hoping for some better luck for Miranda in this episode.
And that's what we're hoping for.
Carrie taught a seminar and did a shit job.
She didn't teach. Fuck all. She didn't teach.
And that's where I'm going to leave that, because she did a shit job.
Yep.
Samantha and Charlotte had a bit of a tiff. But they came together in the end, because Charlotte embraced her inner Samantha. And Trey and her finally had sex.
Woohoo! Yeah, that was very long overdue.
It was long overdue indeed. And Samantha met Carol Ann, who was like the southern version of Samantha, but like to the extreme. And Samantha realized that she had a little bit of a Charlotte in her as well. So
yeah,
that was that. That was the last episode. So we're starting this episode with hope for Charlotte and Trey.
Yes, and hope for Miranda.
Oh yes, of course. Yes.
Yes.
But in particular, we've been on our journey with Charlotte and Trey, so we're hoping for something.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it and find out what happens. So, season 3, episode 17. What goes around, comes around. And I can't not think of what goes around, goes around, goes around, comes all the way back around. Directed by Alan Coulter, written by Darren Starr, and it aired October 8th, the year 2000. So, we start the episode with the Carrie voiceover. She says, 2 months into her marriage with Trey, Charlotte's life appeared to be a bed of roses. At least, that's what it looked like to an objective onlooker. So, we see Trey and Charlotte at, it's like some kind of Hampton estate. I'm assuming this is the McDougal estate.
Mm.
And it has a tennis court, so it's a very beautiful home. And they're there with Trey's brother and his wife, and obviously Bunny as well. So the men are playing tennis, and Bunny is talking to Charlotte and Trey's brother's wife about tradition in the family. Charlotte excuses herself to go and get changed, and as she is walking to the house, we learn through the voiceover that Trey has basically given up trying to have sex. After the 1.5 minutes of fucking that they have accomplished in this marriage, it is apparently, after that, he was like, I'm done. that was it.
Yeah.
That was all you get in. Yeah, they appear to be this beautiful couple, but it's not working. As she's walking to the house to get changed, she sort of has this moment where she's watching the gardener, and he's like the shirtless gardener, and she's clearly very attracted to him. It's like what she's been missing.
Yeah.
Like a guy he's just like, he's shirtless, he's beautiful, he's sweating. It's like, it's what she needs. So then we cut to her telling the girls about her new crush at the diner. And she says that she's drawn to him. And Sam says, of course you are. You know he can plow. And Charlotte is like, you know, I'm married. I shouldn't be talking like this. Then Miranda like looks up and sees something and says to Carrie, whatever you do, don't look up. Obviously she looks up and Natasha is coming into the restaurant. And the music in the scene is so dramatic. Mm. It's a very dramatic moment.
Yeah.
And obviously, as soon as Natasha walks in, they're sat, you know, right at the front. So as soon as she walks in, she spots Carrie, and Natasha turns to a friend, and she sort of whispers something to her, and then they give Carrie this scathing look, and then turn around and walk out. They're like, "We're not going to eat here." Carrie is obviously like, "Oh my God, that was so awful." You know, did you see the way she looked at me? And obviously she's going to look at you that way, like you were the other woman. And it was not good. So obviously that's going to happen. But, you know, you just don't, she wasn't expecting that to happen. That's the last person on earth that, you know, she wants to see. Carrie in the voiceover explains how after lunch, she was so upset about the whole experience that she decided to go shopping. She kind of gets lost and she doesn't really know where she is, doesn't know what direction she's going in. And she says to this guy, like, can you tell me which direction is West Broadway? And he pulls a gun out and says, give me a bag. And Carrie's response to give me a bag is, it's a baguette.
I know, it's a baguette.
Yeah. It's a baguette. Like, there's a time and a place to correct someone about fashion. And now it's not the time. But she hands over the bag and then he looks down and he says, give me your Manolo Blahniks. And she's like, no. She's like, I got these at a sample sale. And like, she's pleading with this guy that she does not want to give up his shoes. But she takes them off and she hands them over. And then he says, thanks, and runs off.
I know, the fact that he thanked her.
I know. Like you just...
held
her at gunpoint.
Get that. Yeah.
And then said, thanks. As he's running off, she's literally like shouting in the street. She's like, oh my God, help. Like anyone, you know, she's just looking around for somebody to help. But nobody cares. She then walks into a barber's like bare feet and just shouts, I've been robbed. And literally nobody cares. Nobody reacts. They're just like, not my problem. And then we see Carrie giving a police report to this guy. Miranda turns up. Carrie introduces Detective Stevens to Miranda. He cracks a joke and he says, you know, that she has beautiful red hair. And they just have this moment while they're talking about, you know, what's happened. Carrie is just stood in the middle looking very short. Like, she keeps, like, going up on her tiptoes to be the same height as them. But they're clearly having a moment. And as soon as he sees her, he's taken aback. Like, he instantly is, like, attracted to her. And you can tell that in his face. Yeah. The detective asks Miranda for a card. And she literally she's got this brown paper bag with shoes in it. And she throws it at Carrie while she gets her card. So Carrie pulls out these, like, white clunky heels. Like they're very much a sensible shoe. They're like a Miranda sensible shoe.
Yeah.
They're not the Carrie strappy sandals that we see her in.
Yeah.
And she just pulls them out and just says, no, I can't wear these. But then Detective Stevens leaves and Carrie says, like, I don't understand this. I get mugged and you get him. Then we cut to Samantha in her apartment. And she has these voice messages. There's a lot of them. You know, it's like the machine says, you've got like 5 messages. She's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So all the messages are saying, this is for Sam Jones. And they're saying, you know, I'm so ready for tomorrow, the party. And they're just all kind of saying the same thing, like, we'll be there tomorrow, can't wait. And then she gets a call saying, and somebody says, is this Sam Jones? And she says, yeah. And he says, is this the Sam Jones who's having the party tomorrow? And she says, exactly who is this Sam Jones? And where is this fabulous party? So there's clearly, there's clearly some kind of crossover. I mean, Sam Jones is a common name. But yeah, Samantha's clearly getting somebody else's calls. Carrie in the voiceover says, the next evening, Miranda had a date with my detective. So we see Miranda in a bedroom. She's getting ready and she's flustered. She's panicked. She's like half dressed. She's got a skirt on, but a bra. She's just all over the show.
Yeah.
She rings Carrie being like, I don't know what to wear. I can't find anything to wear. And this guy is literally waiting in my living room and it's been 20 minutes. And then she says, he's too good looking for me. And she's just panicked. She's flustered. Mm-hmm. Carrie says, well, maybe this is karma. You know, you're finally getting what you deserve. And Miranda's like, yeah, maybe. But it was just so sad that she said that. Like, he's too good looking for me.
I know, yeah.
Then Carrie in the voiceover says, while I always ascribe thoughts about karma to the fortune cookie school of psychology, I wondered, does a string of bad dates really equal one good one? And does treating someone badly in one relationship mean that you'll be treated badly in the next? Does everything that goes around really come around? And if so, will it come around to bite you in the ass? Is there such a thing as relationship karma? Interesting question.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's anything...
I don't think it's specifically relationship karma.
No. Yeah. I think karma, I do truly believe in.
Same. Yeah.
But like you said, I don't think that because if you did something bad in a relationship that it's going to come back in another relationship.
Mm.
I would say that it's just like, you know, it is like you do good, you get good kind of thing.
I agree. Karma is karma. You get what you give. So then we cut to Samantha and Carrie going to this mysterious Sam Jones's party. And they're walking the streets and Sam says, you know, look, if the guy's a loser, then we'll just go out for dinner. But if not, his friends sounded pretty cute on the phone. Sam says that she feels like there's some kind of cosmic purpose to all of this. Like, she feels like the universe is trying to get her to go to this party because this Sam Jones is going to be like this beautiful man or something. Carrie then says, well, what do you think the cosmic purpose of me getting snubbed by Natasha the other day? Sam is like, I've got a piece of information about Natasha and Big. You know, basically, do you want to know? And Carrie is like, oh, I don't know. But she says, like, I want to know. Samantha says that Natasha left Big. Their marriage is over. And Carrie is like, shocked.
I know. Yeah, that's what I don't understand. He had an affair.
Yeah. With you.
And I know not everybody. Yeah. And I know, like, some people work it out. But, like, you know... No.
She's like in that she's situation. Just too shocked. And
yeah,
I was like, are you really that surprised? I mean, like you say, people do work it out, but why
But you shouldn't be shocked if it ends. That's
But then when she was saying like, what do you think the cosmic purpose of you know, getting snubbed by Natasha is? And it's like, well, that's part of the karma for you sleeping with a husband. Sleeping with that's a husband.
The consequences.
Yeah.
It's not even the karma. Well, it's like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why she's acting so shocked. It's like, really? But then we see them arrive at this Sam Jones's address. And it's a college dorm. So they're a bit disappointed. But Sam is like, I need to go in and fix the phone issue anyway. I'm getting all this guy's calls. So they go in and it's all these students. And it's just like a typical student party, and Sam says that she's going to find Sam Jones and sort the issue and then we can leave. So she finds Sam. She asks somebody like, where's Sam Jones? And they point to this guy who is, he's just like a very awkward young guy.
Yeah. And he looks like a child.
He literally does. And as soon as he sees like this woman, like Samantha, coming up to him, he just is like panic. And
yeah,
he just doesn't know what to do. And she finds, yeah, so she goes over and says, "We've got the same name, the same exchange, and I seem to be getting all your fucking calls." So he says, "Well, if you're getting all my fucking calls, that explains why I'm still a virgin." And Samantha was not expecting that. And she just kind of looks a bit intrigued after he said that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. I think she's thinking that this is the universe's way of taking this guy's virginity. But yeah, she wasn't expecting that. Then we cut to Miranda, who's ending the date with Detective Stevens. And she's literally trying to get into her apartment. It's like she wants to sleep with him, but she doesn't want to sleep with him. And she's talking so much. And she's just nervous. And I don't know. I don't know. I just think, like, she obviously is attracted to him, but she's got it in her head that she's not good enough or not pretty enough or not whatever enough. So, yeah, they don't sleep together. Then back to Carrie and Sam, who are leaving the party, and they're walking down some very narrow stairs. And these guys, like, come up behind them and, like, brush past them really quick. So it sort of, like, pushes Carrie, and she ends up falling down the stairs, which we will remember from the whole Natasha coming home.
Yeah.
And she fell down the stairs after finding Carrie roaming around her apartment eating noodles.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah. Then we see Sam and Carrie on the street trying to get a cab. And Carrie is like hobbling around, and she says, you know, Natasha fell down the stairs and now I fell down the stairs. She says, it's an open and shut case of karmic retribution. She says that her karma is shot. And Sam says, well, the universe is telling her to fuck Sam Jones. And Carrie says, that's not karma, that's statutory rape.
Yeah, which it is.
This is the thing, we don't actually know how old he is. He looks about 12.
He does.
And if he's at college, he must be 18.
Yeah.
But then the statutory rape comment, I'm like, well, maybe he's not. I don't know.
Well,
but if
maybe
he's not
18, just...
Sam, don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that he's going to be over 18 because he's in college, but also, like, maybe it's just like she's making that comment because they couldn't have done that in the show. Like, for them to actually sleep together and he be under 18. Like, surely there's...
Well,
like...
that's the thing. His age isn't really addressed. But to me, if you're at college, then you're 18, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe she's just making that comment because he does look 12.
Yeah, true. Then in the Carrie voiceover, she says, meanwhile, across town, Charlotte was getting a message of her own. She's in bed next to Trey and she's having a sex dream. And she's like, she's moaning, she's moving, like her head's banging against the headboard.
Yeah, she might as well have been having sex.
Yeah, it was loud. It wasn't...
Like with the wit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it literally cuts to this dream scene with this like... Irish music, and it's like she's lay down in this like garden and he's on top of her, and then it keeps cutting to like Trey snoring, and then it goes back to the dream scene again. Yeah, she's literally like banging her head against the headboard. So Trey wakes up and he's like, it's okay, like you had a bad dream. And I was just like, Trey, let her have the fucking sex dream.
I know that's the only... And the fact that he does not know that that's what she sounds like having
sex
is, like, the most concerning
thing.
Like, the fact that you think that's a bad dream...
He's... Yeah. Not only is he not going to fuck her or satisfy her in any other way, which he could do if he wanted to, but he clearly doesn't. And then he's going to prematurely end a sex dream.
Yeah.
Trey!
And she was really enjoying him.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Poor Charlotte. Carrie in the voiceover says, later that week, with my knee still hurting from my karmic trip down the stairs, I decided to take matters into my own hands. And at this point, Carrie calls Natasha's work.
We are pausing the podcast
to let you know that we are on Patreon.
Yes!
Woohoo!
You can now become a member of the Carried Away family and get exclusive content, voting privileges, early access, and much, much more.
There are two memberships to choose from, the Carrie and the Samantha. The link is in the show notes. We hope to see you there.
What does she want?
I know, I don't know why she just doesn't leave her alone.
She just needs to leave her alone. I honestly think that she wants Natasha to tell her that it's all okay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything to do with you. And I'm not saying it's all Carrie's fault, because it's not. It takes two to tango. It's Big and Carrie. It's them. But you've done enough damage. Stop bothering her.
Yeah.
Stop bothering her.
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone. But yeah, she tries to speak to her, but like her assistant says, she's in a meeting. And Carrie says, I'll hold. And then Natasha's assistant says, well, I don't mean to be rude, but you'll be waiting forever. So Carrie says, okay, I'll hold forever. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Then Carrie says, obviously, this wasn't going to be easy. I had some tough karma to overcome. The next week, Charlotte flirts with her own karma. So we see her talking to the gardener. And she's clearly she's gone over there with the intention of flirting with him. She's not just stumbled across him.
Yeah, yeah. Not,
you know, she's gone over and is like, I want to flirt with you. And she's not being subtle about it. And yeah, he picks her a rose. And then Carrie in the voiceover says, and Charlotte's karma flirted back in an unexpected way. They kiss.
Uh-huh. They do.
Charlotte and the gardener kiss. Mm-hmm. And as this is happening, Trey's sister-in-law sees them, because they are not hiding. They are in the garden.
Yeah.
Charlotte is not. I think she's just reached her absolute wit's end and is like, I need a man to touch me.
Yeah, she needs satisfaction.
Yeah, she does. I always forget that this is what happened, because I always think, you know, Trey and Charlotte didn't work because he had an issue. But I always forget that, like, this is a big thing. Mm-hmm. I understand he's not been able to satisfy her, but and I just think especially with it being Charlotte, who is so marriage, rules. I'm just like, wow, that is a bold move.
I mean, I think, like, she was, like, done. Mm. And again, not an excuse or anything like that, but I think the reason why I don't think she even really felt guilty about it was that she was, like, done with the marriage.
Yeah, she definitely was. So Carrie in the voiceover says, and downtown, Samantha was working out some karmic issues of her own. So from this point, I'm gonna call them Boy Sam and Girl Sam, because it's gonna get confusing.
Yeah.
So we cut to Boy Sam, and he goes to Samantha's apartment and knocks on the door, and he has a rose, and he says, you know, it's an apology for the calls that, you know, she's been getting. And then out of nowhere, and then she kind of looks at him and is like, is that it? Because he just kind of lingers and he's staring at her like he's never seen a woman before. And then he says, I've been waiting for a woman like you my whole life. And then just starts kissing her. And it's not even kissing. It's like kissing and literally almost dragging her to the bed.
Yeah, he just lunged at her.
Yeah, like, where's the consent, bro? But then we see them having sex and she's like, she's kind of guiding him, because he hasn't a clue what he's doing, and he's screaming, and it's very, he's just got a lot of energy, and it's so she's trying to get him to slow down. And then after Boy Sam, they're like lay down next to each other on the bed, and Boy Sam says, I think I love you. And Sam is like, that wasn't love, that was sex. And he says, no, I love you. And then she just goes, okay, time to move.
Yeah.
She gets up and he goes to kiss her again, but she just puts a hand on his lips and just goes, bye-bye.
So good.
I know. Then we cut to Trey's family having like an evening drink in the McDougal mansion. Trey's sister-in-law just says in front of everyone that she's, you know, she's talking about a day and she says, you know, I did this, I did that. And then she says, and in the afternoon, you know, she was taking a walk around the property and she saw Charlotte kissing the gardener. Instantly when she says this, Charlotte is, I think she's just thinking, fuck.
Yeah.
But nobody really says anything. Everyone's just like, oh, what do we do? What do we say? But then Bunny just says, Charlotte, you're a McDougal now. And it's like, it's just such a weird scene because...
Yeah, nobody, she just, like, they don't really bat an eyelid really to her.
Yeah, it's like, clearly that is what is the done thing in their family because Bunny's like, well, you're a McDougal now. Mm. And, you know, Trey just kind of looks a bit, I think he looks hurt, but he's not like outraged. Charlotte looks a bit guilty, but she's not really like, no, no, I didn't. Like, she's not really trying to do the whole... whatever. And Trey's sister-in-law doesn't give a fuck. She's like, I've been in this family for too long.
Yeah.
Like,
she's a bit of a dick though. Why would you say that? Just to like cause drama.
I know. Then we see Sam, girl Sam. She arrives home, assuming like she's been out for the day, and she's got more messages. And they're from boy Sam. And each message is like more frantic than the first. And he's saying he can't live without her. I have to see you. And it's just like more and more and more and more frantic. And in the end, he's pretty much shouting, being like, I need to hear from you. Like, call me. Like, he's just like, he's
stalker mode.
Yeah, it's very concerning. Then we cut to Miranda and the detective on a date. And he is literally so into Miranda. Like, he's staring at her. And even when the waitress comes over to take their orders, he doesn't even look at the waitress. He's just looking at Miranda. He's so into her. And then Miranda kind of notices that every woman in the restaurant is looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
They're all sat there on their own dates or with their own friends, but they're all kind of glancing over, you know, looking. And Carrie in the voiceover says, Miranda realized that every woman in the room was staring at her date. And she knew what they were thinking. What is that incredibly attractive man doing with her?
Oh, Miranda.
I know. And then Carrie continues and says, so she drinks to feel better about herself. And 6 soda martinis later, she was feeling pretty good.
I quite like this scene. It's so funny.
It's so funny, but again, it's always with Miranda. It's always funny, but like, it hinges on tragic. Like,
yeah,
it's really sad. She doesn't feel attractive enough. And he clearly is so into her. But then again, we get a great Miranda moment.
We do. A great Miranda. I love her.
They're at her apartment and she's very drunk. And she's aggressively like leading him into the bedroom. She takes off his belt and keeps hold of it as she walks into the bedroom like she's gonna whip it.
Yeah, yeah. And she can't even like stand up straight. You know, she's like, it's she's just so like throwing funny. Him about. It's like, it's just so funny.
So funny. But yeah, clearly those drinks got into her. Because sometimes you do need a little liquid courage, but it was for the wrong reason.
Yeah, it was.
Because she didn't feel good enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's going to whip him. She's going to do something to him.
She is. Yeah, she did anyway.
Then we cut to Charlotte and Trey. He's playing tennis like in the middle of the night. He's almost like he's trying to process his feelings about what's happened. He's just trying to, you know, distract himself while he can, yeah, think about it. And Charlotte comes over and she apologizes for kissing the gardener. And he says, Charlotte, no marriage is perfect. So much of what we have is wonderful. We can have separate lives and still be together. Carrie in the voiceover says, as Charlotte looked at her perfect husband on his perfect tennis court, at their family's perfect country house, she realized the one thing that was missing was the perfect connection with an imperfect person. And she says, Trey, when we get back to the city, I think we should separate for a while. And of course, his response is, alrighty.
Oh, dear.
It's bittersweet because it isn't fair to to either of them. Mm. You know, because we don't, I don't really know what Trey's issue is, because he seems to be a sexual person, but not with Charlotte. So maybe, I don't know what his problem is, but either way, he can't satisfy her. It's pressure for him, it's pressure for her. It's just not, it's not good for either yeah. side. So it is for the best that they separate, but it is sad as well.
Mm.
Then we cut to Carrie in her apartment, and in the voiceover, she says, 7 unreturned phone calls later and still no response from Natasha. Stop, Carrie.
I know. The first time was like enough. Like,
the first time when you got told you will be waiting forever, just, you know, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop there.
Yeah.
More than enough. She says, the Buddhists believe that you pay for what you do wrong in this life in the next. I knew what I'd done. I just don't think I could wait a lifetime to be forgiven. I'm sorry, in what world does she think she's going to be forgiven?
I know, like, just stop. It's not about you.
Literally, it's not. She literally wants Natasha to tell her that it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Like, there's no consequences for your actions. Continue buying shoes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Carrie continues and says, the next morning, Miranda woke up with the worst hangover of her life. And we see Miranda emerge from the bedroom. Like, it's yeah. like one hand yes. and one hand on the yeah. door frame. And then she, like, she appears, she emerges, and she's literally still drunk. She's falling over everywhere. Like, she can't walk. She's looking for Detective Stevens, but instead she finds a note. So Carrie says, on her hall table, she discovered that Detective Stevens had left a number for her local AA chapter. Which is a really sad ending to this story.
I know. They don't really address the fact that she didn't feel good enough.
I know. I wish... I mean, they kind of did with that brief conversation, but I do think there should have been more into that.
Yeah.
Carrie continues and says, in downtown, Samantha got her karmic retribution. So, Boy Sam is at her apartment, at the door. He is literally screaming into, like, the peephole. And he says, I love you, Sam Jones. Like, he's just, it's concerning. He yeah. is so obsessed. And Carrie in the voiceover says, she realized in screwing Sam Jones, she wound up screwing herself.
Mm-hmm. She did.
Now she's got to deal with this fucker.
Yeah.
And then she says, a couple of days later, Charlotte came home to her own apartment. So we see her arriving back in her old apartment. And Carrie, you know, says that she'd sublet it, which is interesting that she had held on to that apartment. I think that's very telling.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it could have just been like a finance thing yeah. that she can, you know, get some money from it if she's going to have to be paying for it. But maybe she subconsciously knew that Trey couldn't get it up.
Well, she did know just before.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't she? Then we see Carrie arriving at a restaurant. She explains in the voiceover that she got Samantha's assistant to speak to Natasha's assistant to find out where Natasha was having lunch.
Leave her alone!
She's got the iconic newspaper dress on. It's almost like she's trying to be like, you know, don't listen to all these rumors and all these stories and... It's giving, like, Taylor Swift's reputation, you know? She's trying to be, like, the old Carrie, you know, can't come to the phone right now because she's dead. She's trying to make out that she's changed. But anyway, so she goes in, she sees Natasha, and she sits down at the table, and Natasha looks up, and her instant reaction is to say, I'm gonna scream. And Carrie says, please just hear me out. Then she asks if she can have a sip of water and chugs like half the glass. I was like, anything else? Anything yeah. else?
Do you want anything else from me?
Yeah. yeah. But I just thought it was interesting because even Natasha, the whole way through the show, we've seen her in these like white beige outfits. And here she has, it's still baby pink, but it is a little bit of color. Mm-hmm. And her hair just doesn't look perfect. It just looks a bit disheveled. And I wondered if that was intentional, if they were trying to make out that Natasha was this, like, wounded woman, and now she's not this perfect thing that Carrie had made her out to be.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if it was, but then Carrie says, like, I heard about your marriage. She says, I never meant any of this to happen. If I could take it all back, I would. She says, but I can't. And I needed to say how sorry I am. And then she says, I am deeply sorry for what I did to you. I am sorry it was wrong. And then she just kind of says, thank you for listening. Like, she just wanted to get those words out to Natasha, acknowledge what had happened, and then move on. But then Natasha says, I'm sorry too. She says, I'm sorry about it all. She says, I'm sorry he moved to Paris and fell in love with me. I'm sorry we ever got married. I'm sorry he cheated on me with you, and I'm sorry that I pretended to ignore it for as long as I did. I'm sorry I found you in my apartment and fell down the stairs and broke my tooth. I'm very sorry that after much painful dental work, this tooth is still a different colour than this tooth. And she says, finally, I'm sorry that you felt the need to come down here. Now, not only have you ruined my marriage, you've ruined my lunch. And then she says, I guess that's just what I needed to say.
Good for her.
Yes. Such a, like, burn.
Yeah.
That Carrie just thinks she's that important. And, yeah, Natasha just tells her straight. Mm-hmm. So then some guy comes to join Natasha at lunch. And Carrie gets up, you know, because she says, like, you know what, I'm leaving now. And Carrie in the voiceover says, as I walked away, I realized my actions had put into place a karmic set of events that put Natasha back on the single market, as if single women in New York didn't have it hard enough. And somewhere out there, Big was alone again. The universe may not always play fair, but at least it's got a hell of a sense of humor. She's, like, walking down the street. It's very slow-mo. It's a very dramatic Carrie walk. She's looking both ways. She's thinking.
It was a very similar scene to whenever she didn't go to, like, the engagement party. You know, that scene? And it sort of was, like, had that similar music. You know, it was very... Yeah. It reminded me very much of that scene.
But, yeah, that is how the episode ends. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting topic because, like we said, I do believe in karma. But yeah, Carrie's level of delusion is just next level.
Oh, yeah. She just needs to leave the woman alone.
Yeah. Which, and she never does.
No.
She literally doesn't.
Even in just ever. Like that.
Yeah. 20 years later, she still literally stalks her. She stalks her. Mm-hmm. She stalks her.
Yeah.
Carrie has a problem.
Free Natasha.
Free Natasha. Hashtag free Natasha.
Yeah.
It is sad about Trey and Charlotte.
Well, it's not over for them.
Not yet.
Not yet. But we've still got some time of Trey and Charlotte to see where that really goes and what's happening. And
yes.
Yeah.
I am ready for next episode, the season 3 finale, and... You've got to stay tuned to find out where we're going to be.
I was going to say.
Because as you know. Yes. As you know, we like to go somewhere for our season
finale. We like to
finale.
Reunite as well.
We do. Yes. Should we give them a clue or should we leave them waiting?
Leave them waiting.
Okay. Let us know where you think our finale episode is going to be. We've not been there before. On the pod?
No.
We've been there many a times, but not for the pod. Stay tuned and can't wait for the finale.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.